If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Watch your back, son.
I'm Luke.
I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
I'm Captain Janeway of the USS Voyager.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation. It's a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys just a little bit embarrassed about having a Star Trek podcast. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison. How you doing, Adam?
Great. I got cats in my yard today.
What happened with that?
I was walking outside toward the studio with my favorite dog, Ripley, not expecting to encounter a cat in our backyard. She loved that quite a bit. She did that thing where she chased it and tried to tree it.
Yeah.
But this cat, this is a known cat, I should tell you. This is the neighbor's cat.
Meow, meow.
She tried to tree it up a wall, and what ended up happening was the smoothness of the wall was such that this cat could not get purchase with its claws. And so, jumped and then slid down, and then jumped, and then slid down again, and then jumped just straight up into some bushes.
Oh, man.
By the time I got Ripley and brought her back inside.
Boy.
Saved that little cat's life.
That is, that's scary, man.
From an afternoon of play, Ripley wouldn't have killed the cat. She just wants to play.
I mean, you also probably saved Ripley from some, pretty intense cat-based facial lacerations, you know?
I think that is way more likely.
Yeah.
Ripley just wants to get in there and lick.
Yeah.
I don't think the cat wants that.
Ripley's a little bit of a biter, though. She's got some chomp to her.
Oh, these are bird dog bites. These are just let me stick you in my mouth bites.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a gentle biter, but an enthusiastic one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing wrong with little teeth.
Mm.
How are you doing, man?
I'm okay. I was making myself a salad for lunch today. I've been, trying to live right, eat a sad desk salad like the rest of you sinners out there. And that was going to be my lunch today. And I was pulling some Worcestershire sauce out of the fridge to make the dressing. And I have a bottle of Worcestershire sauce that's been in my fridge for, a couple of months now. And what has happened to this bottle of Worcestershire sauce is that the label kind of came unadhered to the bottle, but it is somehow adhered to the part of the door that it sits in.
Mm.
So when I pull the bottle out now, what happens is I just pull out the bottle and the label stays there as a little tube. And then when I go to put it back, I try to put the bottle back in the tube. And this has been a lot of fun for me, but I've been thinking a lot about how much you would never tolerate tube stuck to refrigerator.
I don't understand why you choose to live like this.
I mean, it's not stuck
things
from
sticking to other things that they shouldn't be stuck to.
Yeah.
It's within your power to make this right, right? Instead of being constantly frustrated by a thing?
It's not really frustrating to me. It's kind of a fun game. It's like, oh, I get to put the round peg in the round hole every time.
Here's what I don't like. Stickiness relating to food items or containers where that stickiness does not belong.
I've taken a pretty good look at this, and it does not appear to be a food dribble and mm-hmm. stick on situation. I think it's the adhesive of the label itself just sticks better to plastic than it does to glass. It's a glass bottle, and like that little bottom bit has just tacked it on to the shelf in the fridge, and it's left the bottle behind. It's like, I like this better than I like that.
This is also an affront to my general need to peel a label off of a thing that I'm handling, like a bottle of beer. That label's as good as dead in my hand. Oh. I'm ripping that thing right off, or I'm like scratching it on both sides.
I used to have a local when I lived in Brooklyn. It's no longer there. It was called the Brooklyn Ale House. I would go down there, usually broke as a joke, so I'd be drinking Miller High Lifes. Champagne, a bottle
of beer. You'd be parading it around, mm-hmm. trying to get some free drinks.
Yeah, the little like upper neck label on a Miller High Life. Love digging my fingernail through that as I'm drinking the beer.
This is what I'm saying about this bottle in your fridge. I could never, like, I'm an inveterate label peeler or whatever. Like,
so how do you know what the things in your fridge are then? Because if
only
that bottle,
one thing looks like Worcestershire.
I have more than one like brown glass bottle in my fridge. I have other shit that looks like Worcestershire.
That sounds gross.
You know, got like fancy soy sauces probably in there. I don't know, there's different sauces. I got a whole bunch of different sauces in there.
I guess in every kitchen you know what you have.
Yeah. I think I'd probably make this as the Worcestershire bottle if I wasn't sure. But it's not one you want to like do a taste test on, you know? You don't want to like hit the Worcestershire straight just to make sure that's what you're pulling out.
I bet you got sauces in the door of your fridge I've never even heard of. By brands, both foreign and domestic.
I swore an oath.
You swore an oath to great sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
And you always have. It's your strongest stance, I would say.
Oh, yeah. I do not truck with a mid sauce at all.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Well, anyways, it was just, I ate lunch right before we sat down to record this, and I was just thinking.
If you had sad desk lunch, you're going to need another lunch by the time we get to the P1s.
Well, do you want to get into the episode so that we can get those P1s over with? Sooner rather than later, Adam?
Oh, yeah. Weird one today. And it's going to be done in an unusual fashion, Ben. If you remember, the end of the last episode, the roll landed our runabout on the measure of a man square.
Right.
Which means you and I need to flip a coin to decide which one of us will vehemently argue either the pro or the con of this episode. This is sort of like a forced review. As we go, like you will either really love this for a bunch of reasons the whole way through or really hate it. And I will then take the opposite side based on this coin flip.
Yeah. One of us is the Riker. The other is the Picard.
Philip Lavoie.
It brings a sense of order and stability to my universe to know that you're still a pompous ass.
The courtroom is a crucible, and if we burn away irrelevances until we're left with a pure product, the truth.
When people of good conscience have an honest dispute, we must still sometimes resort to this kind of adversarial system.
And hopefully we can make some good law out here.
And for good measure, sit on this.
What I've got in my hand is the challenge coin from this year's Share Your Embarrassment tour.
Okay.
Real fancy.
So why don't we say if it lands heads, I am the pro, and if it lands tails, I am the con. That sound like a fair way to do it? You flip the coin and it determines?
That sounds great. Our head side will be Uhura with the fans of the fan dance. That will be the pro side.
Right.
The tail side will be the name of our tour, the Share Your Embarrassment tour, and a nice thick relief of the entrepreneur.
It's one of my favorite challenge coins that we've ever made.
This coin is a thick king. I'm going to do that. I'm at the 50-yard line, Ben. I'm going to flip this coin. I'm not looking. I'm going to do that thing where I put it on the top of my palm and I reveal it to you and the friends of DeSoto at home.
Heads. Okay. I am pro season 7, episode 5, Critical Care.
Revert course.
Unless you've got something a little bigger in your torpedo tubes, I'm not turning around.
Boy, if you ask me, the thing that needs critical care is the quality of this episode. It's on life support from Jump.
I really enjoy how much they are doing with their newfound ability to do CGI at the beginning of this episode, because it's a really cool establishing shot of a kind of Star Trek place that we just haven't seen before. It's a sort of a modern-looking city on a very lightning-intensive planet. And a ship coming in over the mountains, and it docks at a much bigger ship that kind of looms over the cityscape. Kind of reminded me of Independence Day a little bit.
I mean, modern, if modern is like refinery chic, which is what this seems to be in its skyline, a refinery class planet.
It's not Paris. It's just, you know.
No, it's not. It's one of those places where the weather outside is always frightful.
Mm.
Coming in from this weather, we find ourselves in a trauma unit of a field hospital kind of setting.
Yeah. There's people getting gurneyed around, and you got the background audio of any ER situation. And this dude walks in, got a lunch pail under his arm. He gets stopped by a light on the wall that starts kind of giving his stats, what diseases he may or may not have. We learn that he's a Draelian. His name is Gar.
Draelian, 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 I've made you out of loaf. Got kind of feline loaf aesthetic here, I thought. The more I looked at Mr. Gar.
Yeah. It's that line between the nose and the top of the upper lip, right? That cats have.
I'm thinking of Gina Gershon. You know, that kind of feline lips and face aesthetic. Did you get that?
Well, I've already won the argument, Adam. Gina Gershon is a human, not a cat.
All right. Yeah, I guess that's how that goes. I thought from here, this computer was going to play a pretty main character in this whole thing, in determining what's what. And when the computer scans Mr. Gar, we learn a little bit about him. He's in great health.
You know, he's living right. He's probably eating sad desk salads for lunch also, you know.
As neutral as the computer may be about Gar, this administrator of the hospital has grown tired of Gar's entire deal. And the shit that he constantly tries to sell him. Gar's like, not this time. You're going to love this. Let me show you the doctor. And after hitting the hollow emitter, there he is.
Oh, hi, Mark.
And he is very surprised to be there.
I love his performance of, please state the nature of the medical emergency. Like, he's had so many runs at saying that, and he finds new ways to do it every time. It's great.
But this is hack, right? Like, let's just cold open an episode with the doctor appearing in a place he's surprised to be at. We've seen this 1,000 times.
Come on. Mark is a great performer, and he does an amazing job in this moment. And what other way are you supposed to open a Star Trek episode if not in media alien trauma center?
Yeah. After the theme, the doctor recognizes some of the beats of what's happening here, you know. Folks being wheeled in on gurneys, bunch of meat on legs. He can't help but get involved when he sees meat on legs, you know?
Meat on legs is a temptation he could never resist.
You gonna cure the rest of that? Says the doctor. He walks right over to a gurney, gets to work, and he cannot believe how primitive these instruments are. He's got to deal with this meat with these. This is terrible.
My God, what is this, the Dark Ages?
I love the callback to Star Trek IV, you know, the Federation doctor horrified at the primitive quality of care.
When you've been programmed with a Hippocratic Oath, Ben, you have to get it on.
At that point, what's the difference?
Why leave a living witness?
Yeah. He kind of does this to the astonishment of the people around him. And this is going to be a theme for him for quite a while.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting the way Administrator Chelik kind of is at first a little skeptical of the utility of Dr. Mark, but then is willing to just kind of let him go sick for a while and see what happens.
Gotta say, man, I know I'm supposed to hate this episode, but I'm going to say that I love Larry Drake. That guy's face really fills the frame. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I thought for a second it was the same actor that played Leon Rippey.
Yeah.
Just had like put on a ton of weight.
You know what? That's a great call. Yeah.
He does a bit look like a guy who would enjoy drinking a martini while watching a TV.
Well, I might just get to like this place.
Yeah, he does look like a Rippey. One of the greats.
They said, get me a Rippey type.
Yeah. Just a totally believable portrayal of an administrator in a bullshit situation.
Yeah.
He really nails it.
Absolutely.
Back on Voyager, we find Paris and Kim walking through the corridors wearing Missy Elliott's costume from Supa Dupa Fly.
When you play hockey, you've got to expect a few lumps.
And this, I know, is a recurring theme. The whole, what are Paris and Kim going to be walking out of the holodeck wearing this time? I want more of this. I want it every other episode. What are they going to wear this episode? Something crazy.
That would be great. I was really curious about whether there were actual hockey pads under their sweaters or just, you know, foam kind of shaped to fill it out. Because the way they're moving, it doesn't quite read the way hockey pads do.
Yeah.
I played hockey for years. I know what to look for. And this was not quite what I was expecting.
I really appreciate the choice in colors for these uniforms. Like, you ever watch a Major League Baseball game where they do that? Seattle used to do this, the Back to the Future night, where they wear futuristic uniforms.
Oh.
Except their version of the futuristic uniforms are the most god-awful uniforms you've ever seen. Like, ugly future.
The sports sunglasses of the future.
That's what these hockey uniforms look like. They look like those baseball uniforms to me. Just really awful color combinations.
Awful color combinations, like totally ass textures on the fabric.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the piping around the yokes on the sweaters is like flattened out because the material they chose doesn't round off nicely.
Speaking of piping, Harry Kim has a black eye. And they are talking about what they're going to say to the doctor when they go to Six Bay. And once they're in there...
He ran into Tanya Harding's boyfriend in the holodeck.
Paris does that thing, that Eddie Haskell thing, where he tries to explain what's happened here and that something's just not right with this doctor.
Yeah.
He doesn't need all this explanation.
Please take an analgesic and return in 24 hours.
I think if this was a season... 2 episode, they might just leave the doctor as is. I think there's a fair amount of people on Voyager who would be just fine with this being their doctor from now on.
I mean, he just keeps asking what the medical emergency is, right? Like, he doesn't actually have doctor skills, right?
I thought he did. I guess you don't see him try and fail because we cut right over to the conference room after this where they're like, mid-meeting.
Yeah.
And the whole senior staff's there talking about what to do about this problem.
In Media McLaughlin Group.
Issue 1.
They are discussing how it is even possible that their doctor got stolen and they didn't realize it for a long time. Tuvok is like quad boxing his apology before he even really has an acknowledgement of how he fucked up.
I take full responsibility.
He doesn't really know what he did yet. And he's trying to get out from under the, you know, like, Janeway's not interested in playing the blame game. But also, you should know how this happens, Tuvok.
There's a couple schools of thought here by the characters, right? Tuvok's ready to admit the mistake and try better next time.
Mm-hmm. He's taking a step back. He's listening.
there are other people who were like doing that thing where when you make a mistake or someone gets one up on you, you make the one upper into someone great. Like, boy, to get one over on us means this guy is a real smooth criminal, right? Like, gotta be one of the best. He's gotta be good to have taken the doctor right out from under our noses.
Nothing but respect for my thievery king.
Exactly. I probably fall into that category more than Tuvok.
I fall more into the Neelix category because he runs after the captain in the hallway and he's like, I just want to make sure you understand that this is actually my fault.
Our course is locked in.
Do it. Listen to me very carefully because I'm only going to say this once.
Do it.
I love Janeway's whole management deal here because there's Neelix just like kissing the fucking boot about this. And Janeway knows from a long history of working with both Neelix and everyone else as captain that no one's going to work harder to fix a mistake than the one who caused it. Yeah. So she's more than happy to let Neelix take the blame for this. What she's got here is a motivated person.
There's a loose blame grenade rolling around on the floor. If you want to jump on it, be my guest, Neelix.
I'm sure you'll make the most of it.
Pretty great.
So, she gives him basically carte blanche to figure out how to atone for this grave error that, like, the error is that Gar claimed to be not enjoying his food, so he really spiced the shit out of it. And then Gar got sick and spent the night in Six Bay, and that's how he got onto the existence of the EMH and the mobile emitter and got the idea for stealing it. And so Neelix is, the restaurateur that put someone in the hospital, which I can understand making you feel bad.
It's a tough job to cook for every type of person.
Yeah.
Still, I can't marshal any sympathy for him. None at all.
He's great. Come on. So we cut back to this planet. We get another look at this hospital ship that kind of hangs in the air over the city. You're in those buildings down below hoping to fuck that Chelik's people really have their anti-grav thing figured out 100%.
Boy, you're not kidding about that. I would not sleep well under the shadow of that thing.
And so we cut back up and the doc is providing treatment and this med tech guy that he's been working with is pretty impressed with his skills of a doctor. And the doctor is kind of interpreting the low resources nature of where he's been stationed as being an indication that this is a low resource planet and, the whole hospital must be like this.
This guy Voji seems pretty plugged in, and he's a great person to get the lay of the land from. It seems like as bad as the patients have it on this floor, like the administrative hellscape that they have to deal with as doctors is somehow worse.
Yeah, which I think the medical professionals that I know will tend to agree with. That being just the case on our planet as well.
You'll have to submit a formal request to Chelik and support it with Form A3W in triplicate.
We gotta meet Tebis, the patient we're made to feel sorry for.
Yeah.
He's a non-player character in my mind who has a weird infection that Voji recognizes. But Voji doesn't treat it as an emergency or like snap into action or whatever. And that's because Tebis doesn't have the TC. That would necessitate treatment.
You got an HMO, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's your answer.
And Chelik pops in to say, in this very moment, at the moment where we might have a question about what TC is, that he owns the doc now. I own you.
Yeah.
Says Chelik.
Please come with me.
I will not.
The doc doesn't want to play ball here. Chelik's like, hey, don't blame me. Blame the allocator.
Yeah. The allocator is that computer we heard from earlier.
Right.
The Denali is the name of the people that live on this planet, but Chelik is from another species, and they've been like hired in by the Denali to run this hospital. Between Chelik and the administrator, that's where all the power lies within the hospital ship.
Yeah. God. There's just so many layers to this.
Yeah.
Like yeah. red and blue. We take the turbo lift up to the blue level, and the differences are very apparent, Ben. The blue level is clean, and the red level is not.
I really liked the... There were subtle things about the design of the blue level that made it look like a Federation starship. Mm-hmm. I mean, not some subtle, some not so subtle. I think that the lighting is a very, you know, Starfleet ship of this era. But yeah, it sort of feels like we're back in civilization when we get up here. You know, it's not as crowded. It's quiet. There's like mood music.
There's still no fucking privacy, though.
Yeah. I mean, there's curtains. They got curtains.
They should have done something with the gowns. Like on red level, those things don't tie in the back at all. You're yeah. hanging butt on the red level. On the blue level, you get to wear a nice robe. Something that yeah. maybe has never been worn before.
Mm.
New garment. Real soft.
Like a waffle knit
oh, yeah.
hotel robe.
I've never had waffle knit anything. Is that really the superior knit?
I like it on a robe. I have my bathrobe, a lovely gift that I received from my wife, is a waffle knit robe. Very luxurious.
Do you have waffle knit towels?
No, I've always wanted them, but they don't ever get good reviews. You know, when you go on like Wirecutter or whatever and you say, what are the best towels?
What's the difference then? Like the best of the thing that makes robe should also make best towel, right?
Well, this robe has like the terry cloth texture on the inside.
Does your robe have a liner?
Yeah, I guess it does. Well, I think it's like, it's two ply, you know? There's like the waffle and then the terry and they sewed them together.
I don't understand this garment at all.
You should get into fancy robe lifestyle. Like you,
I don't.
You spend a lot of time poolside,
meh,
enjoying the pleasant weather.
I do.
You got to get yourself like a nice Japanese robe or something.
I could get into that lifestyle for sure. Yeah.
You live in the West Village. There's probably a store dedicated to like fancy pool wear that, you know, that would set you up perfectly.
I should do that. And all that stuff's probably on deep, deep discount in December.
Yeah, exactly.
Put myself in there.
This is the time.
Peruse the clearance racks.
Yeah. Get yourself a Speedo and a robe.
Mm.
That's a look, baby.
That's how I want to go through the winter in LA. Ben, TC means treatment coefficient.
Yeah.
Has this little knob on the front so you don't wreck your shirt or hurt your hand.
And this is important because everyone on level blue has a higher TC than the patients on level red. And treatment coefficient roughly means like certain professions or skills or accomplishments mean more to a society. So these folks are viewed as more necessary and thus get better care to continue those Miriam contributions to society.
Right.
Unlike those dirty, dirty level red folks who don't contribute shit.
Let's hope extraterrestrials qualify for Medicaid.
It'd be like if triage included a check of your, you know, medical insurance if you went into a contemporary hospital.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, just at the moment you're trying to process this, there's Gregory Itzen. Just perfect moment to introduce Gregory Itzen.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
Are you in charge of what passes for care on level red? Because those people are suffering.
Intriguing technology.
He is playing Dr. Dysak in this episode.
Can I tell you that if you go to Gregory Itzen's Wikipedia page, you will see one of the worst photos of all time.
Oh, really? Is it a...
He got did so dirty. I don't know who gets to decide what photo goes on your Wikipedia page, but what the fuck is this?
If it's any worse than the one on his IMDb... Oh, man. Hi. Check out the one on his IMDb. I think it might be even money for which one is worse.
Who is Gregory Itzen's agent? This is, you got to get, oh, yeah, this is no good. No good.
Hey, Gregory Itzen has the same birthday as my dad and Hitler.
Wonderful.
Good for him. Well, anyways, yeah, he is sort of the head doctor on this planet. He's not running the hospital from an administrative standpoint, but he does sort of oversee the medical stuff. He sort of explains to Mark, like, oh, yeah, we were a dying race. You know, everything was falling apart here on this planet before Mr. Chelik here came and set up his hospital. They figured everything out for us. Like, this really solved the situation.
I just got totally pulled into Gregory Itzen's IMDb page.
Okay. Should we take five and you can read up a little bit more on Gregory Itzen? Or?
It's just 30 miles long. And it really makes you forgive the photo they choose up top. Like, with a resume like this, maybe you don't need a great photo.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
So on the Voyager, they're looking high and low for Gar. And Gar is the guy who sold Mark to Chelik earlier and the guy that got all sick off of Neelix's cooking. And they're following his warp trail, and the warp trail goes cold. They find a phony baloney warning bois floating in space.
It's emitting a false warp signature.
And everyone who isn't Tuvok is like, see? Ah, this guy's good.
Worthy fucking adversary.
I see he stole a lot of valuable things. He didn't steal my mop.
Seems like they can use a mop like this on the red level on that hospital ship. I know I'm not supposed to know about that yet in the course of the episode, but I know.
A lot of body fluids need mopping on the red level.
However, they are keeping it pretty clean up on blue level. Carpeted floor up there, so they got to.
Nifty bit of business that Tuvok suggests here. He's like, look, he's got iridium, this Gar guy, and we know that there's a half-life to this. It's fairly short. So if he's looking to peddle this somewhere, he's going to do it in a place close enough that it wouldn't have expired.
Right.
So they find a planet that's 2 hours away. This has got to be the spot. That's where they go.
Local iridium hookup.
Yeah.
It's a mining operation. They pull in and they get this guy up on FaceTime and he is pre-pissed and wants his iridium back. Turns out Gar's been grifting people left and right.
I don't know how often this ever happens to anyone else but Janeway, but like, you get on the phone with someone and they're just pissed immediately. Janeway's so used to this because she's like, hey, we both have something to be pissed about. You, clearly very pissed. Why don't we work together? You can get your iridium back and we can get Gar. Gar's got our doctor.
There's coffee in that similar experience. Maybe we can help each other.
And this guy decides to play ball. He's like, what else am I going to do? Just be pissed?
Enemy of Gar is my friend.
Here's what I got to tell you. Go to Velos.
Yeah.
That's where you should look for him.
So Velos is the next stop, and we cut back to the hospital where Mark is learning about how patients on level blue are getting optional treatments that are just there to prolong their life, that they don't actually need urgently, using drugs that are being denied to the poor people down below, Adam.
But you hear the description of this stuff and how, like, unnecessary it is. It's only necessary for, like, life extension. This is adrenochrome, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think they say that.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of kids in the basement here.
Yeah, just grinding them up. Extruding a bunch of adrenochrome.
The richest guy on our planet found out about this, believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that turns out to be how we set our society up for the rest of history.
The doc observes something very useful about this whole transaction. The nurse asks the computer for a drug. The computer scans who the patient is and goes, oh yeah, this guy can get some adrenochrome. And this thing gets vended out. Gives him an idea, doesn't it?
It does. So there's that that boy down below on red level.
You're talking about Tebis.
Tebis.
That sounds like such a Scrabble word. Like, what are you going to do, Ben? Challenge me?
Yeah.
27.
Well,
Tebis.
Here's how I know that challenge would work is that it kept autocorrecting to tennis. It's a T-E double letter I-S, you know?
So many alien names are just regular vocabulary words said with a stuffed up nose. That's how you write Star Trek characters.
It sure is.
With a sinus infection.
So Mark gets this idea like, oh man, we could be distributing these optional ass drugs down on red level.
Yeah, where they're really necessary. I mean, because that's a version of life extension too, right?
Indeed it is, Adam. He's got this idea like, oh, what if we, this kid is tragically low T. What could we do to kind of juice that up? Like buy something at the checkout area of a gas station to help. But he comes up with, what if we load some extra information about him into the database? And he tries to trick the computer into thinking that Tebis has like skills and aptitudes that he does not in fact have.
Yeah, but Voji is such a fucking dope. He's like, computer, did you know that Tebis is good at books? Like his zhuzhing up of the file is so stupid.
Yeah.
You got to do better than that, Voji.
The allocator can read right through Voji's bullshit.
Yeah. I feel like the doctor watches this happen and is like, Voji's not the guy. And when you think more broadly about like how the society is structured, like if you're on red level and you don't have the TC to get, you know, up to blue level, wouldn't that also presuppose that the doctors on red level aren't their best, aren't their smartest?
They did not send their best to red level.
No. You can only work on a red if you are a red.
Did you get the sense that Voji is actually a doctor, or is he a tech or a nurse or something?
That part is a little squishy to me, but I feel like he's the best that they have.
Yeah.
He's either a doctor or doctor de facto.
Yeah, because my general practitioner is, I believe, a PA, and this is something that my wife...
A production assistant?
...doesn't believe should qualify him to be my medical practitioner.
Go on.
I don't know what the difference... Like, it seems like...
Your doctor is a Pennsylvania?
A physician's assistant. He's like, he can prescribe, he can provide, he can do the whole thing.
That's what you want.
Yeah. He just doesn't have an MD. He has like a different qualification that isn't as murderously difficult to get.
Is there something about your level of care that your wife has taken umbrage with?
I don't know. My level of care being bad is mostly about me not wanting to go to the doctor that much.
Well, there's your problem. So Voji's amendment doesn't work. And here's what I want to say about Tebis. He seems really happy with his condition. And I was very curious about this choice in making Tebis so optimistic and cool, given he's about to die and could be in some pain about that. Like, it's weird when the sick person is more okay with things than the doctor. There's this like reversal in this scene that kind of clanged for me.
Well, I think that Tebis weirdly like believes in the rules of his society, despite how obviously they are fucking him over. And the MH doesn't. The MH has been dropped into this situation, not believing in the way they have set this society up at all. And, you know, openly going around criticizing it. But, you know, I feel like that's kind of a realistic thing. Like you see all the time, like the news report, like, isn't this sweet? This like little girl is selling lemonade to raise money for her dad's cancer treatments. And you know, and then people quote tweet it and go, no, this is not sweet. This is evidence of how fucking screwed up our society is, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I don't think that the person writing the Isn't This Sweet article is writing it in bad faith. They just aren't taking enough of a step back and considering the implications.
It is about the implications, isn't it?
Maybe they're writing it in bad faith. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what anyone's up to anymore.
Back on Level Blue, what they're up to there is the doctor challenging a nurse about that extra cytoglobin.
I feel kind of bad for this nurse.
She seems caught up in some bullshit that she couldn't understand. She wouldn't understand.
She shouldn't understand.
I don't understand.
Maybe the thing I hate most about her situation is that she's made to take all this shit from the new guy on day one.
Oh.
She's been there forever. Yeah. She has seniority.
Just because this guy has an MD and she just has an RN, he can fucking walk in and treat her like she's scum.
Yeah, I don't like her situation at all.
Yeah. He's trying to get this adrenochrome injection
for
the kid. And so what he does is he goes, you gave this blue level patient their extra adrenochrome, right? And she's like, what? I didn't hear about. And he's like, oh, I have to do everything myself. And he gets the computer to replicate it. And then when nobody's looking, he palms it and runs right back to the elevator and goes down to red level.
And there we see the doc make his way to Tebis, and in goes the injection. And the camera pans up to a really happy doctor.
There's nothing more thrilling than nailing an insurance company.
I tell you what, if I were in a hospital bed, and I had just woken up to the face of my doctor, and my doctor was making this face, I'd be terrified. Yeah. Like, you want the consistent, good care of a trained medical professional, but I also very rarely want any emotion out of that same person.
I'm going to take the other side of this, not just because I have to, but because I believe it, Adam.
Uh-huh.
If I saw a look of smug satisfaction in my care provider every time they injected me with something, like, yeah, I just did the right thing, even though everybody around me thinks it's the wrong thing, that's only giving me more confidence in the care I'm receiving.
I don't want a doctor near me who is doing something that everyone else tells him is wrong. Maybe your wife's onto something about your medical choices.
Well, I've got to get that platinum, get that
low enlargement.
I've got to get that
platinum.
Would not. Are you planning a heist?
Gold.
When I was growing up, I didn't have anyone to tell me about personal grooming. I had to learn these things on my own. So I'm here to save you some embarrassment and recommend the grooming tools that I use, the products from Manscaped. Now, this is a company that constantly has its mind on your bush. Imagine the meetings they have. Imagine the pictures they have in their PowerPoint presentations. Now imagine your junk looking its best thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0. This thing is the latest bunch trimming technology with two interchangeable heads, a standard one for taking just a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. Every mom I have ever given an Aura Frame to has absolutely loved it. And that includes a lot of moms I know. This is a gift that I have personally given many, many times. And it's great. I can upload photos from my phone the moment I take them, and that means that mom or grandma out there is going to get pictures of their loved ones delivered to their living room. And right now, Aura is having a great sale for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com and use the code SCARVES at checkout to show your support for our show. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
One up country. Coffee first.
Do it.
We get a parade of guys who got swindled by Gar on the screen of the Voyager. Some of the rattiest loaf we've ever seen in Star Trek. You know, there's the one guy, and then there's the next guy, and then there's the next guy's ex-wife who left him for Gar and would love to imagine that, you know, Gar basically cucked this guy, took his wife with him, like so much iridium, and now the wife is convinced that Janeway is trying to move in on her action with Gar. And Janeway has a tough time explaining that she has no romantic interest in Gar without sort of insulting this woman. So she claims to be already set up with somebody, and she reaches out of frame. And you're just like, oh, this is Chakotay's moment. This is where it happens for him. And we cut to the wide shot, and she is grabbing Tuvok's hand. What?
I believe it moved. Great moment.
Chakotay's just sitting back in his chair. Box of Dixon Ticonderoga's taking him out one by one.
Loved having a Jim O'Hare sighting in this parade of victims. That's fun.
I should have known it was a mistake, but, well, you see, I have never been able to say no to my wife.
Yeah, it was a good parade.
The wife sucks, though. I don't like the way she talked about her husband. She's like, wouldn't you leave that tub of shit if you were me? It's really unkind.
Yeah. She did not marry him for the right reasons, it sort of seems. You know?
You know what? You know what I think about when I think of that husband? Hmm. How much better his life is going to get now?
Right.
She's holding him back. She's holding him back from happiness. He'll see it soon.
This is short-term pain that's going to lead to long-term gain.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to get back out there. He's going to meet someone new.
Yeah. He's going to, you know, he's not even going to, like, think about Gar. Going forward.
Yeah. Back on the doctor's planet. Tebis wakes up feeling great. And the doc is still standing at the bedside, grinning like a fool. And then Tebis goes from, oh, I feel great, to, oh no, you're in big trouble, aren't you, doc?
Yeah, he's fucking stressed.
Doc's like, no. No, we just worked up your TCs through the roof right now, Tebis. It's going to do wonders for your whole life. And Tebis is like, well, that's cool for me, but what about everyone else on level red? Can you do the same for them?
Another look of smug satisfaction.
Yeah.
I did not know how to interpret this in this moment in the episode. I was like, is he smugly satisfied that he's like, no, I don't care about them because Tebis demonstrated merit and potential, and therefore I'm willing to save his life, but I don't really care that much. I kept wondering over the course of this episode whether the Prime Directive supersedes the Hippocratic Oath or vice versa for the doctor.
Yeah.
I sort of wish that they had addressed that directly, but...
Yeah, they had the tension of that, for sure.
But I love the reveal that this look of smug satisfaction is that the doctor has a big plan to start smuggling drugs down from blue level to red level that he's just not letting on about yet.
You remember the Take It to the Limit montage from Scarface where they're like counting the money, piling the coke and all that? This montage is almost exactly like that, except the doctor is just keistering these vials. Just one after the other.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Trying to get you the proper medication.
He prints up a bunch of bumper stickers and t-shirts that say reallocation is not a crime.
Yeah.
And they get to work.
Yeah.
And they start taking adrenochrome around and just injecting it willy-nilly.
God. I mean, Voji's like, I don't want to be a part of this. And then Tebis is like, I do. And as soon as Tebis does, Voji's like, all right, let me in there. Come on, give me some of those vials.
Yeah, from now on, free healthcare for everybody.
This has got to be what it's like for Chet and Colin Hanks, you know? Like when Tom Hanks is like hitting the adrenochrome hard and they're like, you know.
Like when they've got a really furious game of ping pong in the basement of Comet Ping Pong.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it seemed, you know, Chet's like not really into it at first, but when he sees that Colin's going for it, he's like, all right, yeah. Come on, I'll get some adrenochrome too.
Yeah, got to. Got to when it's flying around.
Yeah. You think Chet and Colin get along?
I mean, do all siblings get along?
I don't know. They just seem so different. I just feel like Colin Hanks is like, let's do, I don't know, like bow tie summer. And Chet's like, I got a way better idea.
Yeah. Really something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a thing to think about. Back on Level Blue, you couldn't have expected this con to go on for long. Greg Itzen figures it out pretty fast and confronts the doctor about all these unnecessary injections suddenly flying out of the computer. And this is a great scene for anyone who works at a company because the doctor patiently explains how accounting rules for departments at companies work.
Yeah.
You got to use it all. Or you got to use even more than all of it or else next fiscal year, you're going to get fucked.
I'll admit to some light embezzlement on this program, Adam.
This better be at a previous company.
When I was the president of the comedy magazine in college, it worked like that. We got money from like the student activities committee or whatever. And if you didn't use your budget, they cut your budget the next year. But if you used it all, you got 10% more the next year.
It's so fucking stupid. It's so fucking stupid. Our entire economic system is based on growth for all time, higher budget for all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, what are we doing?
Our hack for this was take the remainder of the budget at the end of the fiscal year down to a liquor store that did not give itemized receipts.
There you go.
And throw a big party.
Well, at least that's a positive to come from this.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what they're doing. They're throwing a party for Red Level to pad out Blue Level's budget. And Dr. Itzen loves this idea.
I can't love it. Shit. This doesn't make any sense. Shut it down.
Hey, Adam, you tell me the thing and I will love it for you. I will hold that love and carry it through.
Here's the thing about the Itzen confrontation. He seems to get it. Like, he seems to be down with what's happening. Back on Level Red, things are looking livelier than ever. Like, those first couple of scenes, people are laying in the halls on the floor, even, and now people are up and moving around, and that's good, right?
It's great. It's good direction. You know, like the mise-en-scene of these shots has totally changed, and even though they're not lit differently, they feel really different.
There's a performance characteristic to the actor who plays Tebis, Dublin James, that I'm going to call Wheatening. Because when Will Wheaton was brought to Lower Decks to play a younger version of himself, he famously did like wet mouth acting to sound more childlike. And I feel like Dublin James is kind of affecting his voice in that same way to sound like a sick kid. He's like 30.
Yeah. Dublin James is his first and middle name, but I think that's what he goes by professionally.
Oh, yeah?
Last name Wahlberg.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of town with this.
I'm not kidding. His real name is Dublin James Wahlberg.
I'd change my name too, I guess.
Yeah.
How strange is that? Huh.
Weird.
Yeah. I couldn't help but have the spell broken a little bit by, like, this quote-unquote kid feeling better again. But no, he doesn't want to be discharged. That would mean going back to work the refinery with Dad.
Do you think that Dublin James ever considered endorsing a male growth supplement and going by Dublin Jimmy instead of Dublin James?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think you should give some thought to that if he's listening. I think that'd be a fun bit.
Coffee, do it. Black coffee, black.
Make it yourself.
Tebbis is sort of sickness edging here. He's like, look, what if you made me just sick enough to stay, but not like real sick, you know? Like sick enough to where you can't send me home.
Right.
That way I can stay, I can learn to do medicine shit with my friends and Voji and like learn from the best, learn from Dr. Mark. That's good, right?
It does seem good. It does seem way better than the manual labor that he would be doing otherwise. So.
What's the worst part of working at the refinery? Is it the manual labor or is it Dad? I could have used a little more detail because that description, it's pretty short. But he didn't have to say working with his dad if it wasn't kind of the worst part, right?
Let's just assume that his relationship with his dad is very much like the one that you are projecting onto it.
Back on Voyager, they found Gar's ship and they drop out of warp right on top of it. I love this moment. In an episode I hated and it sucked, but this moment was fun to me. It zooms right up on it and blam, like hits it with the tractor beam. Why don't they do this all the time?
It's a great moment for Chakotay in particular. It was his idea. Mm. And like he gets like an attaboy from the captain for it being such a clever way of playing it.
Yeah.
It feels like Voyager can do stuff faster than the D can. Like there's so many times where the D was like, put a tractor on him. Like, gotcha, captain. Let me do that. Beep, 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 beep. And then the tractor goes, you know?
Yeah. Three cords and a tractor beam. That's how the D worked.
they've nailed him. And Gar gets on screen totally smug for a guy whose ship has just been lassoed for all intents and purposes.
I thought we were friends, captain. Why am I being treated this way? I think I deserve better.
I gotta say, kind of like Gar.
Your team Gar?
Liking the bad guy is part of the coin flip for me.
Okay.
Gar's cool. Look at that cat face.
And I dance, 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 and I dance, dance, dance.
Oh, I hate him. I hate him so much. He's trying to upset the tractor beam, but Harry Kim's on that shit. He's not going to let him get away with that.
Yeah. Gar's got that confidence of a guy who knows he's going to get out of this jam, but he doesn't. He's transported to the brig directly.
Yeah. We cut back to a really beautiful nighttime shot of the hospital ship up from below.
It's just dumping sewage out of the bottom.
just like medical blood waste. And medical waste.
You do not want to park your car underneath that thing. Trust me. I only did that once.
It's like that time we parked under the one tree in Echo Park where all the parrots hang out.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah. Lost the deposit on that rental.
So Dr. Mark is going around with a tube of neon light looking for Tebbis.
It's a blue light. What does it do? Turns blue.
And asks the allocator where he's at, because the cot that Tebbis had been in has got a different person in it. And it tells him that Tebis is now on level white. So he turns to Vodri and he's like, so what's up with level white? Sounds great. Sounds nice and clean and crisp.
Got to be better than blue, am I right?
Yeah. Like even higher, right? His TC went through the roof.
We cut to below the floating station and it's just a body bag with Tevis's body drops from below. It drops onto a car and sets off its alarm.
It's like that scene in Con Air where they dump Dave Chappelle's body out with a note written on him.
I haven't seen that movie in too long.
Oh man. Con Air should be a bonus ep.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that. It'd be good. Yeah.
Chelik initially sort of plays the fool, like, what's the complaint? Like, a patient died? I mean, it happens all the time. This is a hospital where most of our patients don't have enough money to pay and therefore don't get treated. Let me look him up. And then, you know, it turns out he actually knows who Tebis is and what he represents to Dr. Mark. Chelik is very pissed off about all of these unauthorized injections. And so he sort of saw to it that Tebis would succumb to a secondary complication that would have been easily treated if anybody had noticed.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Tebis did succumb to a secondary issue and died from it? Or do you think he was murdered by Chelik or one of his henches? Or behind door number three, like, he was given too many injections by the doctor and that is what caused him to die?
Oh. Like,
what do you think of either of those options? Because I think Chelik is intentionally murky about what exactly happened, but I feel like if he was more specific about what happened and specific about the doctor being the reason, that would have added some real sauce to this episode.
Yeah.
You didn't know he was allergic to this? You pumped him full of it.
Yeah. I guess I don't have a super clear read on that, but I also kind of love that this episode lets you live in that ambiguity. I think there's some bravery in that.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think so.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
Chelik's like, hey, I'm trying to run a society here.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm the one to make these decisions. Oh, and also everyone on level red is being sent home. And the doctor really doesn't like this.
It's a great illustration of the idea that crime is a social construct, right? Like, if you steal $200 from your job, you get arrested and thrown in jail. If your job withholds $400 from your paycheck, you don't really have much recourse on that.
Yeah, man. Me too.
Anyways, yeah, so the other shoe drops in this conversation, and Chelik explains that the allocator is going to now be paying a much closer attention to what Mark is up to moment to moment.
Here's what I think. The allocator is the worst boss I've ever had. Holy shit. The allocator has like a stopwatch.
Yeah.
And it's moving the doctor around all willy-nilly.
The medical hologram will now commence treatment on level blue.
Kind of reminds me of that episode of Lower Decks where Captain Freeman put everybody on timers.
Oof. Yeah, if there's a timer involved, get out.
I hate those levels in video games where like you have like 5 minutes to complete this task or whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Give me a break.
That level in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where you had to defuse the little bombs.
Oh, yeah.
You're underwater. You can't get to them all.
There's no way.
There's too many.
There's too many. It's not fair.
I always got stuck there.
That was my Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah, I never got past that. So back on Voyager, Gar is in the brig, and he's being interrogated by Tuvok, who is threatening torture by mind meld. And then Neelix rolls up and you're like, oh, thank God Neelix is here for some reason. It's chow time. That's why he's there. Except the food makes Gar sick. And it's then that you realize that this is torture too. They're both there to torture Gar.
Relax. He's just having gas pains.
Do you think that this is a consequence of Tuvix? Like, somehow, like, the willingness to torture, the willingness to commit crimes against humanity?
If you could only hear yourselves.
Came out of that combination of them? I don't think either of them was a torturist going into that experience.
Torturist?
Yeah.
I like that. What an artful term. Jesus, Ben.
Like, who's more unethical? Is the food poisoner or the forced mind melder, like, the worst person in this scene?
I can tell you who's moron, and that's Neelix. But he's moron like a fox, because this amount of gas does not agree with Gar, and Gar will do anything to get this gas out of him. Like, tell them where he took and sold the doctor.
Yeah, he's like, he's literally like ripping ass on the floor, like begging to be saved from this.
Just a brutal, brutal torture scene that will haunt me for the rest of my days.
Yeah, that is a key fear of yours.
Can you imagine death by gas? Oh. You know that's happened.
I'm sure.
I just wish I could fart!
I'm giving you an order. I'm giving you an order. Is that understood? I'm giving you an order. I'm giving you, and you have just crossed the line.
Gar is played by John Kassir, who you know as the voice of the Crypt Keeper, Adam.
Wow. Yeah. Good pull.
Yeah.
It's your lucky day, fella.
Pretty fun.
I mean, he's it seems like he kind of like makes most of his living as a voice actor from looking at his IMDb. But
hey, that's a good living.
Fun that he got to put on some loaf and rip some dirty farts for Star Trek Voyager.
Back over at the red level, Voji, he's just falling apart. Yeah. He can't deal with this. He's got all these discharges to manage. And like, this is the worst possible time to get called to level blue to help with the surgery. But there he goes.
Yeah.
But it's a trick because the doctor's there to greet, and it's clear Voji has never been to Level Blue. He's blown away by this place.
Like, oh man, you guys really got it made in the shade up here. It's almost like a Federation hospital up here.
Yeah. Doc's got a plan. He needs Voji to agree to smuggle his mobile emitter out of there. And Voji's like already unzipping his pants. The doc's like, no, I've got this case. Put it in the case. Not your keister.
Yeah. Keister, not necessary for this one. Also, it's kind of a tortilla shape and size. I don't think you want this in your butt, dude.
Yeah. He gets with the program. Like, yeah. Just as the allocator's about to move him along, into that case he goes.
Yeah.
And on level red, we find the doctor working just like normal. And Chelik rolls up and he is pissed.
I love the swagger that Larry Drake has when he walks up catching Mark.
You know what you're hiring when you're hiring Larry Drake. That kind of swagger.
Oh, man. This guy can walk, man.
You want to know something that I read? Is that the artist known as Drake took his name from Larry Drake. Like, so inspired was he by Larry Drake and his many great performances.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is this an nth degree?
Yeah.
Sneaking into a measure of a man?
So every time you hear something by Drizzy, just think of Larry Drake.
Yeah.
And that gravitas.
Ugh.
Not so much gravitas that it saves him from getting knocked the fuck out by the doctor.
Yeah, he gets an injection for his trouble. And this is like a neural blocker plus virus. It's the thing that the adrenochrome treats on red level that he's been injected with, but it also has Tebis biomarkers in it. So when the allocator is consulted about what kind of medication Chelik can get, it's like, no, this guy has low T. Can't give him adrenochrome. Adam, it's a pretty vivid illustration of how unfair this whole situation has become.
I mean, we're just getting comeuppance after comeuppance, like all over the place from here until the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Isn't it a little hypocritical, though, for the doctor to make it seem as though Chellick's life is not worth saving in order to save other people.
Hmm. I wonder if the episode will interrogate that any further.
Hmm. Hmm.
Janeway gets on the phone with the allocator and, you know, it's like when you call like an airline and it's just nothing but AI phone tree bullshit.
Yeah.
You can never get a real person.
Your wooden medallion isn't speeding you to the front of that line.
No. It really sucks. And so they kind of decide to take matters into their own hands. Meanwhile, Dr. Itzen shows up at Chellick's bedside and is like, oh man, what's wrong with this guy? And Chellick is like, you're the head medical guy. You've got to get me that adrenochrome injection, man. And he's like, man, I wish I could.
This is peak Itzen, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
This was the president he played on 24 season after season. Like this, this type of twerp. Like, I think what's so great about this performance, again, in an episode that I think is dog shit, because that's what the coin tells me to say, is that I'm not sure I entirely believe that he believes what he's doing here. You know how, like, in every awful administrative machine, there has to be those who just go along with it?
Right.
I feel like whatever is happening to him scene to scene is what he's going to go along with.
It's like he is doing this because it's how the game is played, not because it's what he believes in his heart of hearts.
He's going to be fine in the end, and he's making those decisions the entire way.
God, it's like a straight white guy voting.
I'm sure everyone appreciates that.
I'm not saying straight white guys shouldn't vote. I'm just saying don't do bad shit when you vote.
How great is Larry Drake?
Ugh.
From this moment all the way until the end, because, you know, he's been sitting upright or standing up most of the episode, but you get him laying down on a bed, fighting for his life. Really great performance by Larry Drake.
So Janeway is like, we got to send somebody down there because we're not getting anything through this phone tree. She orders Torres to be on the away team, and then she turns to Chakotay, and she's like, Chakotay, you go too. And he, like, almost can't believe it. And he stands up and, like, all of the, like, halves of pencils fall off of his lap. And he, like, dusts off a bunch of sawdust and, you know, graphite powder and stuff. Walks through the pile of other broken pencils that are on the floor all around him.
He's kind of limping because one of his legs fell asleep. He's been sitting in that chair for so long, not doing anything. Chakotay, you get to do something this episode.
Sounds great.
And so the away team beams down, dust busters out. The doctor's like, cool, I'll be with you guys in a moment. I'm in the middle of some shit.
Yeah. And the shit he's in the middle of is attempting to murder Chellick.
Yeah.
To make his point. Can you imagine being about to die and having Gregory Itzen start explaining to you about quarterly budgets? Oh man, what an awful way to go.
So the policy change that they get him to enact is everybody that has this disease that gets treated with adrenochrome automatically gets put on level blue from now on, and because he has it, he also gets to go and get treated. Doesn't really solve the problem of the ills of his society.
Yeah, do you get a sense for how many of these ships exist around this planet, too?
I feel like it gets, like, number checked as, like, number 42. So maybe there's lots and lots of them, but I don't know.
I hate that about this episode.
I kind of liked it.
I got a big problem with that.
That's another bit of ambiguity that I really appreciated as Brave.
Yeah.
They warp away. Now the doctor's on board and he's giving 7 of 9 a checkup and then turns the tables on her and asks her to give him a checkup. She gives him a surprisingly clean bill of ethical health. He is quite troubled by the behavior he engaged in down on that planet. But it turns out, like, for all of the debate about, like, oh, like, you know, we have limited resources, so this is the way we've decided to meter them out for the greater good. Turns out, Mark was greater gooding better than all of them.
It's really true. 7 of 9's like, cool, take your lollipop. Like,
and that's when you realize the episode was told in reverse, because the lollipop is super big in this scene, but it was really small at the beginning of the episode.
It almost got past me, the whole idea of, all the way up until this moment, it's been the doctor that's been so flip about Seven's many problems, and you reverse the two here, and it's Seven being like, eh, fine.
Rub some dirt on it.
Nothing wrong here. And that's the end, Ben. Did you like this episode? I have a feeling you did.
You know, I'm really easy to get along with most of the time. But I don't like bullies, I don't like friends, and I don't like you.
I loved this episode, Adam. I thought it was a searing indictment of the horrible inequities of our current medical system. And I say current because even though this episode came out 23 years ago, we still have many of these same problems in our society. Despite major legislation that has tried to tackle some of these issues, it's still a big, big problem. And I salute the writers for tackling it in a really inventive Star Trek-y way. And I especially salute the casting director of this episode. Man, what a fun cast of guest actors. Holy crap.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting both an Itzen and a Drake on set?
And a fucking, like, they got the Crypt Keeper for this one. The Crypt Keeper!
Yeah. Got to imagine. Pretty popular around the craft table.
Oh man, do some more Crypt Keeper stuff.
Well, Ben, I thought this episode was a pile of shit.
Yeah, I kind of got that sense.
And the coin makes that true to me. It's an episode about torture, isn't it? The doctor torturing Chelik, being maybe the most surprising form of it. Tuvok and Neelix earlier in the brig, obviously, participating in their own form of torture.
Veteran of performing on 24, Gregory Itzen is no stranger to being in TV shows that celebrate the use of torture.
Yeah, I thought that show was a big amount of fun at the time. I mean, it introduced me to the great Gregory Itzen. It can't be all bad. Like most very special Star Trek episodes that ask interesting questions, this episode doesn't answer any of them. Because that is what Star Trek does a lot of the time, is they don't have any solutions to our problems. This is the depiction of one of the major ones in our society. Why don't you fix something, Star Trek, instead of just standing around? If you got time to episode, you got time to clean. That's what I'll say. Case closed.
I just read an amazing piece of trivia about this episode. The prop for the allocator that was on the level blue part of the hospital ship was used as the drink dispenser in the Enterprise NX-01's mess hall on Star Trek Enterprise.
It does look drink-shaped when that little door opens up.
Yeah.
Looks like you could grab a can out of there.
Guess you could say it's been a long time getting from there to here.
It's been a long time that we've taken before getting to Priority One messages. Why don't we get over there?
Let's do it.
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental.
Supplemental.
Yeah, it's extra.
But the interest alone could be enough to buy this ship.
Ben, our first Priority One message is of a promotional nature. That message goes like this. All your episodes are gold, but Mournhammered episodes are Latinum.
Wow.
Currently, in Game of Buttholes, if you roll past Mournhammered, there is no power hour. In this P1, I'm not selling stuff. I'm selling the idea to reprogram the game where rolling past Mournhammered equals landing on it. I, too, am an aging human. I understand... the physical toll and the disruption to your production schedule in life when you get that drunk. But what my theory presupposes is a slight increase of your suffering is worth it for our entertainment.
Captain Picard,
Mike is an idea salesman. And and on his commercial P1, he has sold the change to the game of buttholes that would make rolling past the Mornhammered Square impossible.
Wow. So you have to do it if you get to the end of the board game.
Interesting idea, Mike. I'm okay with it. I got to say, I'm fine with that. The call to action is I accidentally listened to a Mornhammered episode at 0.7 speed. Highly recommended. You go from slightly drunk to 2 a.m. dive bar after a divorce drunk.
Wow.
That's great.
Wow.
Wow.
Gonna have to crack open a pack of divorced dad trading cards.
Yeah, you got to. Gotta get the house. Oh.
Come on, house.
The house. I don't want to ask Colin Anderson to do any extra work on the game of buttholes, but I'm for this proposal. I think this is a good proposal.
I would say remove the tub square and add another Mornhammered square. And maybe that's how we resolve this. What do you think?
There's got to be squares we don't want to do or the game isn't fun.
I think we should make this project as enjoyable as possible. No suffering. No suffering!
I don't know. That doesn't seem like your way. Adam, come on. You're going to find a way to suffer.
I don't know, man. I've changed.
Wow. Our next Priority One message is from Chris, and it is to Ben and Adam. Goes like this. Came down with COVID 2 days before your Denver show.
I remember meeting you, Chris, at that Denver show. Big hug!
Here are the scarves I would have probably spent on taxis, dinner, and drinks. I would try to pass my ticket on to a friend, but I'm a little bit embarrassed about having tickets to a Star Trek podcast. Break a leg, come back to Denver soon.
Oh, Chris. You missed a great show in Denver.
Yeah, that was a really great one. Really, I think, sold to us that we had been away from Denver for far too long.
Yeah.
And we'll be back soon, I hope. Sorry you got COVID. I hope you're feeling better, buddy.
Yeah, you missed just an awesome show. Like, when I think about that show, it's hard to think of a better one we've ever done.
No, I think that was the best one. You're right.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Hope you feel better now, Chris. Ben, we've got a final Priority One message, and it goes like this. I and my senior officers would like to congratulate both of you for completing your international tour and sharing your embarrassment with friends of DeSoto around the world. We raise our hooves and salute you. And in honor of your accomplishment, Chief O'Brien Trout.
I am Chief Miles Edward O'Brien. This is fucking spectacular.
And also, since there are still more characters left, Moopsie.
Moopsie.
Aww.
So this was sent in by Captain DeSoto and the crew of the Friends of DeSoto Mastodon with the requested date of being after when the tour is over.
Hey.
What a nice thing to do to celebrate the end of a crucible of live shows that we've done.
It has been a really fun tour. We got one more early next year in San Francisco.
Yeah. Learned a lot. Did a lot of great shows. Gonna feel great when we tie a big bow on this one.
Yeah.
So thanks to everyone over at the Mastodon for observing that achievement.
Thank you.
Hey, are you trying to assuage the feeling of missing a live show? Or maybe you have great ideas about the board game? Maybe you want us to do an impression, or you want to celebrate a relationship, or
yeah,
a beloved pet. Go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Put some words in our mouths. Help support the show. It's easy to do. Do it today.
Hey, Adam.
What's up, Ben?
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
I just think that everything about Jim O'Hare's performance as cuck husband is great. He is 10 out of... He gets 15 seconds in this episode, and he takes it. He takes it for himself. He goes 10 out of 10 on this performance. He's really in a way.
Yeah.
And it makes me, in a way, with him. He's just the best. I'm going to make him my drunk Shimoda for that. What a performance.
Oh, man. Yeah, I agree. I also thought the costuming that they put him in was just really funny. It was like kind of a bad shirt that had just some like space shit on it.
What I didn't like was the adulteress. Like, her setup is just nothing but plants. Like yeah. Here's potted palms.
Right. She's like on Risa or the Delta Quadrant equivalent.
Yeah.
You know, she's just like a sex pot that's like, ooh, wouldn't you?
I mean, nothing says sex like potted palm, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The sexiest plant.
Always makes me horny.
Is this your idea of sex?
So what was yours? Was yours also?
Yeah, I joined you on the Jim O'Hare
okay.
square.
Hey, great. Good place to be.
Yeah. All right, Adam. Next week, we've got to find out how we are going to be recording. And let me tell you what we are going to be recording. It's Season 7, Episode 6, Inside Man. Starfleet Lieutenant Barclay's hologram convinces Janeway to pursue a dangerous, untested plan to bring Voyager home.
What's the title of this episode?
Inside Man.
Oh, isn't that your college nickname?
Absolutely brutal, off the top rope. Jesus.
Ben, our runabout is pulsing on the face of Philippa Louvois.
All right.
Reminding us that we both just did a Measure of a Man episode. That's square 87, three squares ahead. We've got a The Traveler episode. That would propel us five squares past his face.
You're required to learn as you play. Roll.
But let's see what happens.
Let's see.
Ben, I've rolled a two.
Chula!
Did I win?
Hardly.
That puts us on square 89. It's a regular old episode. It's nice. Also the doorstep of the Traveler Square. That's it.
Okay.
Regular ep.
All right. Regular ep next week. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who supports the show. MaximumFun.org/join. Thanks to everybody who shares the show with a friend or leaves a nice review on Apple Podcasts or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, but especially Apple Podcasts.
Saw a lot of friends on tour. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Like folks bringing people to the show to expose them
yeah.
to that whole thing. That's always a trip.
It was great. Hey, hope you have a great holiday season, restful holiday season. We're going to keep bringing the episodes. There's going to be an episode next week. I haven't checked what day it is, but it's happening.
It's the 18th of December today.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
So what's 1 week from today? Is that a big date or nah?
Yeah, for a lot of people.
Oh, unremarkable date.
I think it's great.
Cool. Yeah. Well, so if you like, you know, need to go take a very long poop and avoid your family, we're going to be there for you.
Yeah, we really will. We're not going anywhere.
That's because of the friends of DeSoto who support at MaximumFun.org/join.
Yeah. Rain or shine, thick or thin, holiday season or not, $5 a month keeps this thing going.
We gotcha. Also got to thank Adam Ragusa for all the original music on this show, Dark Materia for the original theme song, Bill Tilly, the card daddy, for running the At Greatest Trek social media accounts. Gotta thank Nick Dittmore for our artwork.
The whole crew.
Yeah, go check out all the many communities online. Buy something at podshop.biz. Check out other shows on MaximumFun.org. For example,
Greatest Trek.
Our new Star Trek podcast, Greatest Trek.
Love that show.
Yeah, good one. With that, we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek Voyager, an episode of The Greatest Generation Voyager. It stars Denzel in a great hat.
Excited for that one.
Make it so. Make it so.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artists-owned shows
supported
directly
by you.